All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Grim Articles Show. It's just me right now. I don't know if DP's going to be here or not, but we're going to go ahead and get started. We did have another show, but there was kind of there's been some issues. They've kind of ironed out now, but it was just kind of a rough time. It's a rough period. So, we're just going to go past that now, and I apologize for the lack of shows and everything. It's been kind of crazy around here, but things are okay, and we're going to continue. So, damn, the main article that I wanted to do, I forgot to put on here. Well, I'm definitely going to have to go get that. Let's see if I can find it real quick. Right here. Okay. Music business worldwide. So, it is no secret that I have an AI music channel. So, we are going to be probably suspending a lot of that. Some of you guys dug it and some of you guys didn't. But I am kind of ending it, and there's a reason for that, guys. So, basically, Suno got bought by Warner Music Group. I've worked with Warner before, worked with some of their artists before. Alright, so here's the issue. So, basically, I can spell out this article because I did read it ahead of time. So, basically, what they're going to say here in this article is that you have Hollywood Media, which is the former president of Universal Music Group's Geffen Records. You know, Slayer was on Geffen. A lot of, you know, bands like that were on Geffen. I don't know about Rob Zombie, but I know there's a lot of bands that were on Geffen. So, anyway, he is one of the investors now. And you've also got... Okay, it also says Hollywood Media Ventures, the company's investment arm, is led by other UMG, including Universal's ex-CFO Chuck Ciongoli and ex-EVP Mike Began, who also served as Spotify's head of global curation. And also, we got another team member who will be familiar to many in the music industry is Paul Howerkin, formerly global head of music operations at TikTok. So what do you think they're going to turn Suno into, guys? They're going to turn Suno into a TikTok music factory. Basically, they're giving people all the catalog of Warner Music Group. And only the catalog of Warner Music Group. Now, yeah, you might say, oh, but there's some cool stuff on there. Sure, Metallica, Linkin Park. Guys, I don't want to write Metallica songs. I don't want to write Linkin Park songs. I want to write my songs that I wrote for bands that are similar to those. Everything I've done on that fucking channel is my own lyrics. Every single fucking song is mine. The music is not mine, I won't take credit for that, but the fucking lyrics and everything you guys are hearing, whether it's cringe or awesome, it's all my lyrics. Every single bit of it. And I've edited a few things, you know, like I've taken a few things out because, you know, some of these lyrics go back 25 years. So, guys, this is my fucking lyrics. These are my, you know, and a lot of times that's what makes it shine. You could take a thrash song, right? But then you could put something really fucking cool in it, like I did with Tired Of, you know, and that wasn't really even meant to be a thrash song. It's meant to be more like a Slipknot type song when it was written. But it was also kind of a mix of a band called Carnal Forge, which I used to love, you know, when I was younger. Very good band. Check them out if you like really extreme melodic death metal, and I do mean death metal with a capital D. They're very fast paced, kind of like The Crown. So, anyway, guys, yeah, I really liked that one, and I'm glad that it did very well on YouTube. It went to 300 and something views, like shit, dude. I didn't think it was that good of a song, but honestly, when I listen to it, like musically, it's just literally a regular thrash song. There's nothing special about the composition of that song. There's nothing special. What makes it good is the lyrics. People understood the lyrics and they're like, okay, this is cool. I like this. This is badass. This is unhinged. And that's me coming through the music. That's not just, oh, you know, computer. No, that's me saying, hey, this is me. I'm letting the computer basically illustrate what my thoughts are. Because all that shit is me. And there's a lot of stuff that I'm generating right now, Vasuno, that's only for me. Like, I've got whole records that are going nowhere. Like, I don't plan to release them ever. And the reason for that is pretty simple. I don't want Warner Music Group to have their hands on them. I don't want Warner Music Group getting a hold of any more of my lyrics, right? Like, I don't know what they're going to do when they wipe Suno. I don't know if they're going to take lyrics of people that have generated or what they're going to do. I don't know what the situation is for that. But I know they're going to probably wipe all the models. So I've got time, and they're going to give us a time, like a timeline of how long it's going to be. But basically, guys, I've got hundreds of songs that I got to generate and get ready just for me, so I can have this music to, you know, remind me of, you know, old times, rough times, stuff like that. It's a lot personal stuff, guys. It's like really personal. So I don't even really want to release it to the public, you know. It's kind of, oh, this is hard, because I remember what was going on in my life when I wrote this shit, right? And then there's some stuff that's really good that would be fun for the public, right? So I'm like, well, maybe we can use this as a little skeleton, right? So I can go with the band later and say, hey, this is what we had with Suno. And by the way, Rick Beato was talking about this. Musicians will often take something they generated in Suno and be like, this is a skeleton of kind of what we want to do. So they'll go to somebody, you know, in the music industry and say, okay, well, I like that. And then they'll go in there with real artists and they'll perform it, like, organically. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. Because there's still things with Suno, even at, like, the higher levels at, like, 4.5 and 5, where there's things that could be changed or made a little better, right? And, I mean, right now I've been listening to a lot of Deadman's Lore, a lot of the stuff I generated from there. I just love it. There's some amazing, amazing stuff. Like, just absolute instrumental freakouts that's going on. And I didn't even plan. Just part of the program. And I'm like, oh, this is fucking awesome. I'm just losing it because these are my lyrics, and I totally am just taken away in that world of where I was, my headspace during the time when I wrote all that music. And it's just so well written. All the Dead Man's Lore stuff is just extremely well written. I love it. And I love to bring it to more people, but I just don't want to fight with Warner. Like, I don't want to do that crap. I don't want Warner to have the rights to it. I don't want to do all that. Now, there's some people that's like, oh, I want Cardi B's stuff. And that's literally what they want to do. They want to make, like, 4,500 Cardi B. They want to make 4,500 Linkin Park. And I'm giving you a small number compared to the kind of shit that people are going to generate. We're talking millions of songs that people are going to try to generate with Metallica and all this other stuff. And some of it might actually be fucking good. Like, I'm going to be fair. Let's be fair. Some of it might be good. Problem is, like, saturation destroys it, right? That's why I didn't want to release too much music at one time. And if I did, I apologize. I didn't want to release more than maybe 4 or 5 tracks a week. But sometimes I did different versions, you know, to give people, like, a different things they wanted to hear. So that's cool. I mean, but it was all in fun. I'm not making any money off of it. I'm not trying to go to Spotify with it or anything like that. It's just for me, just, you know, getting to hear my music in a very professional. And even Rick Beato, you know, he said it. You can take this music and you can, okay, so the guy said, he said, I know a guy that's 70 years old, written all kinds of music. And he says now he can really type it in on Suno and he can hear it perform in a professional manner. And that's what I'm doing. I'm getting this performed by a professional band the way I wanted to hear it. When I wrote it, that's what I had in mind. Everything with Dead Man's Lore that you guys are hearing is what I had in mind when I was writing the music. I'm not even talking about kinda sounds like. I mean, you know, that's exactly what it sounds like. That's the plan I had for the band. And when I started doing the, I added some more modern elements to their newer stuff, and it's great. It's incredible. Some of these songs, they're just so fucking good, dude. I'm not even gonna lie. But, that stuff, really good. And I'm not gonna release it. I'm just not. It's just gonna be for me. And, I mean, you know, like I said, some of that stuff, it's not for everybody. It's kind of anti-religious, very pagan kind of stuff. Like, that's where my headspace was at the time. But I felt, you know, like, energy in those songs, like power. Like, there's a strength there, right? It feels good, you know. It's got a lot of, it's awesome to hear that stuff. And that's the reason why I wrote it, you know. There's just something to those songs, and I love them. But at the end of the day, guys, yeah, this is the music industry clawing their way into Suno. And of course, I've seen Mike on Suno, like he's staff of Suno, and he's like, oh, we look forward to helping people to create music and be creators and all that. And people are like, dude, you literally, I mean, they didn't have a choice, but they literally sold out to the devil, you know, the music industry, whatever you want to say. Remember what Michael Jackson said? Those people are evil. Like, I like the musicians. I got nothing against the musicians. But again, the people that run this stuff, they're not actually great people. They're hardcore people. They're business people. So they don't care about my little small Celtic thrash band, right? No. They want their artists, or artists that sound like they can be the big, huge, million streams, billion streams, you know, that's what they want. That's all they've ever wanted. And that's where I'm at right now, guys, because I didn't want to make that kind of music. And I even told them in the fucking Discord, I said, guys, that's not what I'm here for. And I even said, I said, look, when they get rid of those old models and then they switch over to this new WMG platform, I'm done. I'm going to get all my music downloaded, you know, get it all, you know, I'm working on maybe putting some of the stuff into the version 5, but sometimes I like the version 4, like I've been listening to a lot of the version 4.5 Dead Man's Lore, and I'm perfectly happy with it. I don't even think you need to fix it. But yeah, I'm gonna just stick with those, and that's it. That's literally it. I'm not gonna do any stems, I'm not gonna try to do any open source, I'm not gonna do anything like that. When it's done, it's done. Enjoy the ride, let it go to shit. Because now the music industry has fully taken over it. And by the way, I know some people are like, well, yeah, the musicians are gonna get paid. Do you know the music industry? You probably don't. Even Rick Beato was saying, the labels are gonna get the money. You think the musicians are gonna fucking get royalties for all this shit? Hell no. It would be awesome. And even Mike and all the team over there at Suno would try to say, oh, well, you know, we're gonna do it. Dude, the fucking labels are gonna get the same money that they get from TikTok, that they get from Spotify, that they get from YouTube, that they get from all other revenue streams, while the artists get shit as usual as it's been since the early days. Nothing's gonna fucking change, okay? It's just a new way to fuck over the musician. So you might as well just work with the unlicensed shit, because it's not gonna be much different. And it also said, Halwood is staffed by some very well-connected music insiders, and the company is all in on AI-generated music. Earlier this year, it established itself as a trailblazer in the legitimization of AI music within the industry when it signed I'm Oliver to a record contract. Why is that a big deal? Because it's not an artist. He's the most streamed music designer on Suno's platform, who uses his platform to develop his lush sonic landscapes. That sounds like some goddamn pretentious bullshit. And then you got Xania Monet, recently became the first AI-powered artist. And you're like, well, why don't you put Shadowed Sun up there? No, I'm not fucking putting Shadowed Sun up there. And people will be like, well, but you won't have the lyrics for Shadowed Sun. I don't think Shadowed Sun just works with anything. Shadowed Sun, when I do a song that becomes Shadowed Sun, it has to have the feeling of Shadowed Sun. I'm not just going to throw that on anything. And believe me, I've tried with a few things and like, oh, that doesn't feel like Shadowed Sun, though. Even the Hydlide one, you guys didn't really like that much. That was an experiment.
you know, because I was like, yeah, it'd be funny to kind of see what Shadow Sun would do. You know, it wasn't like an actual thing. I even said that in the lore that, you know, the female vocalist said she was drunk while she was doing it, so there was some mistakes. But yeah, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that with Dead Man's Lore, Shadowed Sun, or Diamond Stone. It's actually pronounced Damon Stone because it was originally D-A-E-M-O-N-S-T-O-N-E. But I said, oh, okay, well, we can use AI. Diamond Stone, right? It's the same thing. And, yeah, all these bands, Religion of Blood, there's no way. That's all the high school stuff. Like, I got 50 songs of that right now, and nobody's going to hear them, because, again, it gets pretty personal, and there's some really fucked up, like, holy shit, I can't believe you wrote about that. Yeah, but when I was young, I went through a lot of shit, dude, so there was a lot of kill you, fuck you kind of music coming out of me, because there was a lot of feelings that were literally kill you, fuck you, because of what I was going through. Like, as a teenager, I went through a very rough childhood and very rough adolescence. I was, I was hanging around with the wrong crowd and all that shit, man. I mean, nobody's like that anymore, but, yeah, we were the wrong crowd. We were the bad crew. We weren't that bad. I mean, they did some bad stuff without me, but, you know, yeah. Anyway, like I said, that was a rough time in my life, so there was a lot of kill you, fuck you kind of music going on. And it's fun to hear. It's very cathartic for me. So it may not get released. But yeah, guys. Billboard counted 6 AI artists and broken down to its charts. And it said it's large enough to justify 7-figure record deals. Again, I don't care. I think it's kind of ridiculous. And they said, you're seeing there's a lack of traction around AI artists other than the occasional novelty phenomenon that may capture some headlines. That's not what fans are interested in. So, I don't know. I don't have no idea. But I will say I enjoy whatever training, whatever band was trained to make Dead Man's Lore. Like, I want to know who you are. Like, I want you to finish these records legitimately. It's like, get a band together. We're gonna do this for real. It's like, you got all the shit wrapped up for you. We got 5 records. You'll be able to do this for a while. Oh, man. But yeah, guys, that's all I gotta say about that. But I just want to let everybody know ahead of time that I'm kind of just pulling the plug on releasing anything. I just gotta generate as much as I can while I can, and then I'm done. I don't know if I'll release stuff later on, but for now, I'm finished. Like, I'm not gonna be doing that anymore. But I do thank you guys for listening, and it was cool. Anyway, that's not what I'm here to talk about. I guess DP's not going to be here today. So, from YouTube to state custody, viral fame destroys America's most inbred family. 3 members of America's most inbred clan have vanished from their decaying West Virginia compound after state officials quietly removed them from the home. A move their surviving relatives blame on viral videos that made the family an internet spectacle. The state's Adult Protective Services took Roy Whitaker, 72, his sister Lorraine, 79, and her son Timmy, 46, from the family's ramshackle property in the town of Aude in September, according to relatives who spoke to the Daily Mail. Their sister Betty, 73, and brother Larry, 69, told the outlet they were left behind without explanation and say they've no contact with their loved ones since. They said they were helping them, and they couldn't live here no more, Betty said. I miss them a lot. Larry said the family has not been told where the 3 were taken. I've been staying at home, waiting on a phone call, but that's all I know. They haven't called or let me know nothing, he said. They won't tell us where they at. Officials from West Virginia's Department of Human Services confirmed to the Daily Mail that they were aware of the situation but declined to discuss the case, citing confidentiality laws. The Whitaker's inbreeding traces back more than a century to a single marriage between two sets of cousins descended from identical twin brothers, which effectively collapsed the family's gene pool. The family shot to grim celebrity after a 2020 YouTube documentary exposed the extent of the family's genetic isolation and severe disabilities. The video, filmed by documentarian Mark Lida, drew tens of millions of views, making the reclusive clan a symbol of both rural poverty and voyeuristic fascination. But the attention also brought chaos to the family, who live on a dirt road 75 miles south of Charleston, in what Lida described as one of the most disturbing interviews I've ever done. Neighbors say curiosity seekers regularly showed up at the property to film or snap photos. Larry told the Mail he believes the social media storm helped trigger state intervention. People out there making money off them, and they don't like it, he said of Protective Services. They told us don't talk to nobody, they watch it. When reporters returned to the cabin this week, they found Betty and Larry still living in squalid conditions, cooking beans and sausage were left out on the gas stove as insects crawled over the counters. I'm well aware of that kind of, you know. Inside, the calendar was frozen on March. Outside, towels hung from a makeshift clothesline and Halloween skeletons dangled from the porch besides piles of trash, old tires, and beer cans. The Whitaker's property includes a collapsing chicken coop, several broken down trailers, and a single outhouse. They said they were helping them and they couldn't live here no more, Betty repeated, staring towards the dirt driveway where her relatives were taken away. I miss them a lot. I've raised them. I'm not here to make any judgments, but that documentarian should have left that poor family alone. Nowhere did it say they were evil criminals or any type of hateful being. Anytime the government says we're here to help is the reason our forefathers gave us the Second Amendment. I don't know. I think they should have left those people alone, to be honest, sometimes. Texas woman was allegedly tortured and chained in Texas backyard for 4 months. We don't know about 4 months, but 4 months by five friends who didn't like her anymore. A half-naked woman was allegedly tortured and chained up in the backyard of a Texas home for months, leading to the arrest of five people who allegedly starved and shot at the defenseless victim with BB guns. Good God. The Austin Police Department responded to a home on the south side of the city around 9 in the morning, October 30th, after a 911 call was made regarding a woman screaming for help. Screaming for help or handcuffed to a metal exercise equipment in the backyard, according to Austin officials. Officers arrived to find the unnamed woman suffering from severe injuries, naked from the waist down and shackled to a punching bag stand. The first responders quickly attempted to free the woman, but due to the conditions of the restraints, they had to call the Austin Fire Department to bring special equipment to cut through the metal. The woman showed signs of physical distress and had visible injuries consistent with prolonged restraint, police said. As they worked to free the woman, five adults inside the home noticed what was happening and tried to flee but were immediately caught and detained. Police also found two small children living at the home who were placed in the care of Child Protective Services. The suspects, Michelle Garcia, 51, Crystal Garcia, 21, Mache Carney, 32, Juan Pablo Castro, 30, and Maynard Lefevers, had allegedly held the victim captive for months, police said. The victim told investigators that she'd been friends with Michelle Garcia, but stated at some point they decided they no longer liked her, and the five decided to keep her as a captive, according to the affidavit. Wow. She said she was forced to live outside for weeks and beaten whenever she tried to flee. It's unclear when the victim was taken captive and exactly how long she was held. Detectives said the woman was fed just one plate of food a day and shackled to a metal exercise stand, sometimes with both wrists locked behind her. Michelle Garcia allegedly told investigators she limited the woman to one meal a day because she thought the victim had gotten chunky. However, investigators said the woman appeared severely malnourished. The victim also said the night before being found, her pants slipped down and she got in trouble. She was then shot with a BB gun, cuffed to a backyard stand, and left there half-naked overnight as punishment while temperatures plunged into the 40s. During her captivity, she sustained extensive injuries, including open wounds, severe swelling of the wrists, loss of tissue from her hands and feet, widespread scarring from BB gun pellets, and significant facial trauma. After she was transported to a local hospital, the doctors determined her injuries masked weeks of torture and restraint. Scans also found a BB was lodged in her right eye. Castro allegedly told police he shot the woman with an electric rifle-style BB gun because he didn't want to touch her. He also allegedly admitted that when he would get home from work, he'd grab the BB gun from his closet and chase her around the yard, expressing that he fucking hates her. One of the children found at the home, a 4-year-old boy identified as Castro's son, said his dad shot the woman whenever she was bad, and that his mom, Carney, usually stood by and watched. All 5 suspects were arrested with aggravated kidnapping, aggravated assault, injury to the elderly or disabled, and unlawful restraint. They're all locked up in the Travis County Jail on $305,000 bail. Carney and Michelle Garcia returned to court on November 18th and 21st, while Crystal Garcia, Castro, and Lefevers are set to appear on December the 15th. The case remains under investigation. Good Lord! What a crazy fucking situation. Wales Online, I'm sexier than ever and joining Babe Station at 42. She said she believes she's sexier now than ever and is ready to make a return to the channel after a long time away. Rebecca J. believes she is sexier now at the age of 42. Former Babe Station cam girl from Wales has shared why she is returning the job after nearly 20 years because she looks better in her 40s she did in the 20s. Rebecca J. believes she's sexier now at the age of 42. In the years since her adult modeling career, she's become a bodybuilder with a strict diet and training regimen. She's also taken on grueling adventure challenges, including long distance running through the Amazon jungle, which she described as one of the most hostile environments in the world. But now the athlete who worked for 2 years at the Adult Network decades ago is going back to her roots to join Babe Station Legends. I'm super excited. I can't decide what I'm going to wear, she said, who has 17,000 Instagram followers. I am a fan of hers, by the way. She's got incredible vascularity for her age as far as bodybuilding is concerned. Incredible vascularity. I haven't worked at Babe Station for nearly 20 years, so it's a little bizarre to be invited back to the anniversary special, but it's going to be good fun. I can't wait to see the family, the other girls and producers, and speak to my fans again. On why she decided to return to the channel, I first got the job when I was 23, but I think I look sexier now in my 40s. Besides, young blokes adore a toned, older toned woman. They love my muscle mummy body. Rebecca was first offered the gig back in 2006 when a photographer tipped her off about the network. She messaged Babe Station on MySpace and was offered an interview. That's her when she started, and that's her now. Again, amazing vascularity. Yes, that is definitely steroids, but you have to also, you know, keep in mind. Let's see next. Again, that's, you know, amazing vascularity there. I don't have anything else there, but yeah. That's all they have. And she's got plenty of fans thanks to her abs. My family don't have Sky, so they don't even know adult channels existed. My friends were shocked and told me that I'd be shaking my ass on TV, and I thought, I can do that. She said, I was a little bit shy at the start. I loved the job before I knew it as a regular. The camera guys are really good. If we needed a toilet or something to eat or drink, we could just nip off for a while. There's definitely a stigma that comes with being a cam girl, but we all just had a good time. After leaving Babe Station to focus on her motherhood, she got into bodybuilding, and fans of her old TV days soon started asking for photos of her flexing her muscles and popping her veins. The model found her niche in the ab worship communities and also started competing in fitness challenges, including winning bodybuilding awards. She added, a lot of my regulars have watched me change from being a blonde Barbie bombshell to a muscular Amazon warrior type model. The ab worship thing is very big. Men want me to flex, pinch my skin, and show off my toned legs, calves, or quads on social media. Others like the veins on my neck and want me to tense my abs too. A lot of the time, my face isn't even in the shot. I'm just there touching my legs, and they love it when I'm lean. Yeah, she's extremely lean, like I said, very cut, very vascular. I've done a lot of competitions, both in bodybuilding and long-distance running. My memorable experience was a race in the Amazon, one of the most hostile environments in the world with animals in the jungle that literally want to eat you. I won stage 1 and 2, but I got very injured, so when I came back, I decided to go back to bodybuilding instead of running. The model trains at 4 in the morning on a 5-day split and eats 5 protein-packed meals a day. Her go-to breakfast is cream of rice, fruit, whey protein, dark chocolate, and peanut butter, followed by chicken and veg lunch, then more chicken with potatoes and veg, turkey mince, and cream of rice for dessert and a banana with some natural yogurt. She said fans are just as obsessed with her now as they were in her Babe Station days, if not more. When I was on Babe Station, I got lots of attention from viewers, but I still get plenty of that online now. After gym session, I'll take some selfies, shoot content, or take requests from my followers, but I'm always in bed by 8 so I can hit the weights again the next day. Her comeback will be a one-night-only special for Babe Station Legends this November, almost 20 years since her first appearance on the channel. That's actually pretty cool. I like that. Like I said, big fan of her work. Okay. So, we've got the world's oldest burger believed to be the... Rather. McDonald's burger believed to be the world's oldest quarter pounder turns 30. It's no longer food. Where's the beef? The better question might be, what's in the beef? What's believed to be the world's most oldest quarter pounder is about to celebrate a milestone birthday. Casey Dean and Edwards Nitz purchased the quarter pounder, since dubbed the senior burger by its keepers, from a Golden Arches location in Australia back in 95. And this November, the old burger turns 30. Look at it. It's still there. David and Nitz have kept the senior burger carefully wrapped in its original Mickey D's stamp beige paper packaging all this time, so it looks like it hasn't aged a day. Despite having never been refrigerated and spending the past 30 years being stuffed in cupboards, garbage bags, and sheds, it's still eerily intact and hasn't developed any mold or bad odor. Dean, a dog trainer and musician, told SF Gate, "The only thing that's happened is a shrunk in size. It no longer looks like a hamburger," he continued. "No longer food. It just looks like artwork." Nitz, a bricklayer in Adelaide, shared that he'd love for the frozen in time quarter pounder to be in a gallery or a museum someday. It's unclear exactly why the burger hasn't seemed to age. Mickey D's chief, Mike Haras, who regularly spills industry secrets on TikTok, said it was a huge myth that the burgers never go bad or break down. "When anyone talks about McDonald's burgers never going bad, it's false," the content creator, who was a manager of culinary innovation for McDonald's U.S. menu for 4 years, said last year. McDonald's, for their part, responded to the myth in 2020, saying the hamburger's longevity is likely due to a dry environment that inhibits the growth of mold and bacteria. Food prepared at home that is left to dehydrate could see similar results, they declared. "Look closely, the burgers you are seeing are likely dried out and dehydrated, and by no means the same as the day they were purchased." Nitz and Dean admitted they were never intended to keep the burger for this long. Back in 95, Dean, who was 14 at the time, won his local Battle of the Bands contest, which got him a recording session as a prize. After being at the studio all day, Dean, Nitz, and a friend went to McDonald's drive-thru on their way to a house party. Nitz explained a friend couldn't finish the burger and asked him to hold on to it the next time they came to visit. The friend never came back, but Nitz kept his promise. After weeks had passed, Nitz's mom begged him to throw out the stale food that was sitting on his desk, but Nitz was a stubborn teenager and refused to get rid of it. "I put it in a box and shoved it in the cupboard so she wouldn't find it. It eventually became a running joke and later became a prized possession for the family." Nitz's mom, a teacher, took the relic to show her students at school. The burgers even traveled the world. Nitz moved to Europe and his sister inherited the senior burger, which had become rock solid at that point. But because her husband was in the armed forces, they relocated every 3 years, so the burger just followed them around Australia, he said. Dean and Nitz even have got the story of the senior burger on Russian TV and local news outlets, and they even got Joe Rogan to take notice of it. It's now been in their possession for 30 years, but it doesn't seem likely that it'll ever receive the formal status as the world's oldest quarter pounder. Dean is positive that the beige cardboard ring dates back to Adelaide in the 1990s, and a search on Google and Reddit showed that it is indeed similar, and is also similar to the styrofoam packaging archived at Smithsonian National Museum of American History. "That's better than any receipt as far as we're concerned," he said. However, in order to be included in the Guinness World Records, there needs to be evidence to prove a record-breaking feat has been accomplished. And the duo said they were disqualified because they didn't have the original receipt, which likely would have faded a few weeks later. Nitz told SF Gate that he tried to get several universities to carbon date the quarter pounder, but it wasn't yet old enough. It needed to be at least 5,000 years old. What? Regardless, Dean is determined to make the senior burger leave a legacy, creating social media accounts for it and intending to pass it down for generations to come. He explained that he's coaching Nitz's children to become the next bearers of the burger. What is it made of, and why did the bread never get moldy? Must not have had cheese. Wow. That is very interesting. The mystery of the burger. What secrets does it hold? Well, Alan Jackson is playing a show, and George Strait's still playing, and Dolly Parton's still playing. Well, damn! Man, if you like old country, you're in luck! The Backstreet Boys, too, if you want to see them, and old Morgan Wallen. It's weird how they have country, 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 country. Backstreet's back! All right! Yeah, a little weird, right? But okay. It'd be weird if they had a country song with the Backstreet Boys. Of course, that's the fun of AI, if you could do something like that. Oh, I like my truck. And it's a fun time! No, you can do that. It's crazy. That's why some AI music will actually do really well, because of the kind of mixes you can do. I was doing industrial Celtic folk, and it sounded really fun. Crazy, but really fun. Alright, so old Billy Bob Thornton, if you remember him from Landman, he calls out celebrities for breaking laws, so he did a lot of other stuff. What is it, Mr. Hardcock? Something like that, I can't remember. Mr. Hardcock might have been the porn version of that. Anyway, Billy Bob Thornton calls out celebrities for bringing politics to Hollywood award shows. Billy Bob Thornton is calling out celebrities who bring politics to award shows. During a recent interview on Joe Rogan, the 70-year-old actor shared he doesn't really care about awards anymore, saying he's got plenty of them, and won most of them under the wire when awards were kind of real still. I've won a couple recently, he said, but these days I just look at it as like, oh, okay, we're going to go over here and, you know, have some dry chicken breasts and green beans, and, you know, we'll listen to people get up there and pontificate about how awesome they are. He explained that if someone wins an award and is truly honored by it, he thinks they should take their time on stage to honor the people who gave it to you rather than bring awareness to a cause. He said there's a time and place for that, and during award shows you should just stick to what it is. Don't go up there and talk about saving the Badgers in Wisconsin or something. You know what I'm saying, he said. And people would argue and say, well, no, because I have a voice and because everybody knows me. This is a great platform for me to put this out there. Well, how about this? If you have $1 billion and you want to save the Badgers, fucking save them, he added. Man. I mean, he's right, though. Oh, we need to do the whatever, but you got all kinds of money. I don't have all kinds of money. Why don't you do it with all your money? I mean, you got all this money. If you want to save the fucking whales, save the fucking whales and the badgers or the chipmunks or whatever the hell you want to do. We need to help bring food to these people. You've got the money. Why do we have to do it? Why do the working Americans? You get off your ass. I mean, you don't even have to get off your ass. You can snap your fingers, call a couple of people, and those people are fucking fed over there in those third world countries you're bitching about. That simple. He said, I mean, you got plenty of money to save the Badgers. Trust me. That's barely going to cut into your budget. The host Joe Rogan agreed, and it's like saying how special you are because you're really concerned about people in Sudan or whatever, and it's their way to let everybody know you're an amazing person. Thornton got his big break in Hollywood in 96 movie Sling Blade.
Mm-hmm. Beans. And taters.
Which he wrote, directed, and starred in. The movie earned him an Academy Award for Best Writing and a nomination for Actor in a Leading Role.
I do like them taters.
Looking back on his career, Thornton told Fox Digital in November 2024 he's happy he found success in his acting career when he was older. If I'd been nominated for an Academy Award when I was 21, who knows what I would have done with it, he said.
I think if it happened when I was 18 or 21, who knows if I'd even be here now, because I was a little bit looser back in those days. And yeah, kind of happy about that, because I grew up in the music business, so I was already familiar with being in the entertainment business, but not to that degree, he continued. And I think growing up as a musician helped me prepare for some of it, because we could be local heroes, sometimes as musicians or regional. But this was a big blast. Thornton stars alongside Demi Moore in the Paramount series Landman. Tommy Norris, an oil executive, is trying to make his company number one in the business. Mr. Woodcock. That's what it is. All right, so guys, I don't know about the second season, but the first season, I was overhearing it. He literally plays Mr. Woodcock. So if you're looking for a guy that's going to have like that, what, that Manosphere kind of like take on shit, you know what I mean, that old school man, you know, he says a lot of shit like that. Like the way we used to talk, right? He says a lot of those lines, guys. So I would literally watch it just for that. You'd be like, damn, that's a good point. Oh yeah, he's got a good idea. Like the very opening of Landman, he talks, like season two, he talks about breakfast. And he's talking about how it's the most important meal of the day. And I don't know if he writes this crap or Tyler Sheridan does, but just fucking quote after quote after quote. It doesn't even matter about the storyline of the characters. You just gotta watch it for the fucking quotes. I said to myself, dude, if somebody uploaded a thing on YouTube with all the best Landman quotes or the best parts, I'd literally just watch that. Because, you know, that shit makes you think. It's like, you know what? You're right. I didn't even fucking think about it like that. It's that old wisdom, man. It's that old wisdom. And again, he's true about it. It's like, you want to save something, you got all the money in the world to do it. Why the fuck you got to get on there and talk about, we really need to help the, you do it. Why you want me to do it? There's a thing that's like, do you want to donate $5 for the children or whatever? It's like, bitch, I need $5. What do you mean the children? Children can get out and work like the rest of us. Come on, Billy, earn your pay. Get out there and start digging that ditch. Won't dig itself. All right. So, Disney adult meets Darwin. Witnesses ascribe horrifying sound after Disney superfan leaped from resort, killing herself. I guess she realized she'd never be a Disney princess. Witnesses have described the chilling moment they heard a huge bang as Disney superfan jumped to her death at a Walt Disney Resort hotel after flying to Florida without her family. Summer Inquits, 31, died at the Contemporary Resort after leaping from a 12th floor balcony in front of stunned guests and staff on October the 14th. A married couple who were staying at the hotel described the horrifying moment she landed just 30 feet from where they were standing on the 4th floor observation deck. Damn. They were standing on the balcony outside by the chairs looking out the view when they heard a loud noise and turned to see a female lying on the ground an estimated 10 yards away, according to an incident report from an Orange County Sheriff's deputy obtained by the Post. One of the witnesses moved closer to see if she was breathing, which she did not appear to be. Yeah. You jump from 12 stories and let's see if you're breathing. If you are, you might be a superhero. Another witness described seeing a person out of the corner of her eye and heard a huge bang. Oh, yes, there's... Hold on, did you see that just now? What do you mean? I could have sworn that was... That... What do you mean? There's a person! No, no way. Boom! And then they looked down like, holy shit! Another witness described seeing a person out of the corner of her eye and heard a huge bang. A member of staff at the hotel had been on the 15th floor observation deck with a co-worker when Equitz jumped to her death from three floors below. When he got to the 12th floor, he discovered a blue tote bag resting against the steel rail guard, the report states. Oh, wow. Anyone who's referred to or refers to himself as a super fan of Disney's older than 12 is suffering from mental illness. Is that what they're calling adults now and refuse to grow up and spend thousands of dollars year after year on Disney? Okay. Well, I don't know, guys. It's a crazy situation. Okay. And unbelievable news. We have a video gaming record, guys. Don't be this person, but I applaud them nonetheless. 6-day Dance Dance Revolution Marathon results in new world record.
A Hungarian gamer played Dance Dance Revolution for 6 days straight to set a new Guinness World Record. They burned over 220,000 calories in the process and then fell over dead. No. Marathon runs are no joke, be it actual endurance runs in the real world or gaming runs that drain every ounce of energy. Both are intensely demanding in their own ways. But what if it were to merge? Excuse me, what if both were to merge? Well, that's what 34-year-old Grasshopper, we're going to call him Grasshopper, set his sights on after 20 years of playing DDR. They sought something greater, a chance to cement their name in the history books. That's exactly what they did in 2024, as they played DDR for a whopping 144 consecutive hours, marking not only the longest rhythm game marathon in recorded history, but the longest video game marathon overall. But there's a new record now. The record itself was set after a 6-day run in October 2024 as IT engineer moved his body without a break. All up, the marathon saw him dancing to over 3,000 songs while burning more than 22,000 calories. In a newly published interview with Guinness World Records, they explained the various difficulties faced during the record-breaking run. In particular, it was refueling the body that proved to be a challenge. After doing serious practice attempts with a small staff, what remained was to devise a plan for supporting the body with sufficient food and water intake. After all, it couldn't stop to sit down and have a meal, and he had to keep the rhythm in his feet. Sitting for long hours is not something humans are designed for, he said. No stranger to gaming-specific records, he already held multiple before his DDR run. He previously set the longest marathon sessions for a puzzle game, a racing game, and even a Naruto game. The dancing category is formerly led by American Kerry Swadecki, who played Just Dance for a total of 138 hours straight back in 2015. Wow, that's incredible and crazy. Okay, Emily Willis has a health update. Its adult star permanently paralyzed. No, not related to Bruce Willis. Permanently paralyzed after suffering from locked-in syndrome. She was never taken to the hospital despite emergency services being called. The legal team of popular adult star Emily Williams has given an update on her health situation after she was left permanently disabled. She was a huge name in the world of porn before she suffered a serious cardiac arrest in 2024 while attending a rehab center. 26-year-old, his real name is Litzy Laura Banuelos, was referred to Malibu Summit in January 2024 due to a drug addiction. Raving. Her condition continued to worsen during her time at the rehab center. Despite emergency services being called in early February, she was still not taken to the hospital amid worrying symptoms, which included hot, cold chills, tremors, increased heart rate, headaches, feeling disoriented, and difficulty walking. The next day, the adult star was found unconscious by staff, and it took paramedics between 30 and 40 minutes to restore her heartbeat, during which time she suffered irreversible brain damage. Oh my god. When she finally woke in hospital, she was tragically in a vegetative state where she was fully conscious but couldn't move or speak, which led some to believe she was suffering from locked-in syndrome. Willis's mother, Yesenia Cooper, has since launched a lawsuit against the center, accusing the company of abuse of a dependent adult, professional negligence, and fraudulent business practices. And now, James A. Morris, Jr., the lawyer representing her mother in legal proceedings, has provided the latest update on the American actress and her health. He said she remains bedridden due to her neurological injuries. However, he did confirm that while she is unable to speak, she can make some sounds and has some limited body movement, which represents a significant improvement. But with the diagnosis still confirmed, he did admit that locked-in syndrome was still a possibility, while she has also lost more weight and be permanently paralyzed. It wasn't the BBC that paralyzed her this time, guys. She was not seeking help for the ketamine addiction when she first entered the facility at first thought, as she'd already stopped the drug before she arrived. Morse also gave details about the legal case, suggesting they should have transferred her to a hospital earlier and let the doctors put a feeding tube in her and treat her properly while she was still coherent and speaking and walking. Instead, they allowed her to have a say in her medical treatment, which is not what you do with somebody who is in severe health danger. She was a very brittle place. However, the rehab center has claimed that they couldn't transport her to a hospital without her consent, with their court documents stating it's undisputed that during her stay, Willis has refused to follow medical recommendations and take her medications. She refused to go to urgent care or to the hospital voluntarily despite being encouraged to do so by Summit Malibu. Damn. Okay, so we know that. Well, I mean, sucks. Definitely sucks to hear. Betty Boop will slay nosy podcasters in Boop horror movie. I don't approve of this. For some reason, the character going to public domain continues to lead straight towards a low-budget horror film path. That's why we have films about killer versions of beloved sweeties Winnie the Pooh and Bambi that exist in the world. And the twisted childhood universe won't slow down anytime soon. But these adorable childhood characters aren't the only ones getting the horror movie treatment. Up next is Boop, a horror film about Betty Boop. According to Deadline, the Boop horror flick is going to the American film market with its dark tale on the Betty Boop cartoon. A team of horror podcast investigators breaks into an abandoned theater to discover the hauntings of the starlet once known as Boop. A simple investigation turns into a horrific bloodbath as they fight to escape the murderous Boop and she is out for revenge. So, yep, that's what it's going to look like. Well, I didn't want to do that, but there we go. The image of killer Betty Boop will likely be the most disturbing thing I'll see all week. Boop stars Devani Penn as Boop alongside Katisha Shaw. Now, she better act like Boop. Seriously. They totally did it with Batty Boop. Yes, that's a character. Katisha Shaw, Spencer Breslin, Eva Hamilton, and Colton Tran. Jose Prendes and Josh Ridgway are the writers behind the Betty Boop horror film, with Jared Cohn as its director. Damn. Getting your classic cartoon told as a horror film is still mind-blowing, but what sets Boop apart from all the other horror IPs is her motivation, said Jessica Russo, CEO of VMI, in a statement. Boop's dark history is extremely grim, but this telling allows her to get her power back, a true testament to feminism led by a predominantly female team. Really? Well, this is all very interesting. Boop does not have a release date nor a trailer, but we are sure it will make waves when footage drops. Huh. Interesting. Woman with N-sized breast diagnosed with rare condition after being dismissed by doctors. Summer Roberts was diagnosed with a rare condition which meant her breast grew extremely large. My favorite, rare condition. A woman with a rare medical condition that gave her size and breasts has opened up about the struggle she's faced. She said that when she was very young, she never had an A cup, but as time went on, she found her chest kept growing. Now she's at 30N and carries 25 pounds of weight with her on her chest. Look at them. Look at those titties. This has had an impact on her physical health, and it's even led to her being mistreated and abused, including at work. Mistreated and abused because she's got huge tits? Dude, I'm sorry, but if I had tits that big, I'm going to, like, every fucking sex place ever. Instagram, all that. Not only that, but her breasts mean that Summer needs specialist bras to properly support her chest in day-to-day, which costs a lot of money. It's also had a big impact on her health. I hated myself so much, and I hated my boobs. I'd have panic attacks in dressing rooms. I even wear the same few things because finding clothing that accommodates my bust and the rest of my small frame is nearly impossible. Even day-to-day tasks became very difficult for Summer to carry out. Even if I'm cleaning my house or cooking or walking around, I have to wear a bra because my back will hurt if I'm doing any activity when I'm not wearing a bra, she said. Summer went to the doctor and told them she wanted a breast reduction but refused multiple times. Eventually, she's diagnosed with a condition called macromastia, my favorite breast condition, where someone has excessive breast growth. Summer shared she also had received abuse and had been overly sexualized. Men stare, sure, they'll gawk and they'll look away, but women stare me down like I've done something wrong. And I get more hate from women than from men. And of course she started an OnlyFans. Why wouldn't she? When you got tits the size of basketballs and they're natural, I mean, that's what you do. That's guy like, hey, well, my dick's 14 inches long. Well, I guess I'm going to the porn industry. I'll make a lot of money with that. And relationships as well. Summer says she has had problems because of her chest. My ex-boyfriend's mom hated that I had big boobs, she said. She'd tell me all the time to get rid of them. At work, too, Summer said she faced problems. She said when I worked in restaurants, girls would snap at me for being polite to their boyfriends. I'd think, I don't want your dusty man, I'm just doing my job. Now Summer has quit her day job after starting an account on OnlyFans, which she's been successful enough to do in full time, I'm sure. Good Lord, here's 1,000, 5,000, 10,000. 100,000! That woman's got more money than she can count. Not that I'd give her any, but yeah. I love being able to buy my friends whenever they want and take everyone out for dinner. For me, it's never about the money. I love my job and the freedom it gives me. I don't have to go out and be harassed by anyone, and that means everything. Well, I mean, good Lord, look. Amazing. Well, we already looked at that. RFK allegedly smokes powerful psychedelic that gives people near-death experiences. So, he's doing DMT. And, let's see here. What does he have to say about it? We know about that. Okay, Kennedy has embraced psychedelics. These are people who badly need some kind of therapy. Nothing else is working for him, he told a House hearing. The line of therapeutics has tremendous advantage if given in a clinical setting, and we're working very hard to make sure that happens within 12 months. That's a good thing. That's a good thing, guys. Let's see. Of course, there's this book they're talking about. See anything else? Don't really see anything else. This is great for bringing something so helpful to so many people in the mainstream. If it wasn't for the criminalization of during the sweeping psychedelic act during the drug wars, these treatments would be commonplace for so many issues that plague us as a society. Yep. There are so many controlled mushroom spots across the country with very high success rates. Really good stuff, guys. I think DMT and acid and all that could help a lot of people. I mean, Timothy Leary was on to something, guys. And Hoffman, of course. So, here's another one. A bodybuilder, nutritionist, Instagram influencer plunges to death from apartment building. A Brazilian nutritionist and bodybuilder and influencer has died after plunging from her apartment building roof. Diana Arias, 39. Diana Arias was found dead in the common area of her complex in Campos, north of Rio de Janeiro, on Thursday. The influencer, who boasted 200,000 followers on Instagram, was hospitalized early in the day after first responders were called to her apartment and found with lacerations all over her body. Arias was treated in a hospital, but checked out without clearance from doctors, authorities said. Reports came in just hours after the body had been found. Police have released few details about the circumstances surrounding her death, saying they are still investigating. Arias was a popular social media personality who regularly shared fitness and nutrition tips for transforming bodies and minds. Her account is filled with videos and photos of herself working out, posing in bikini snaps, of course. Nice thighs. She also had competed in a spate of bodybuilding competitions, her profile shows. Oh, yeah, she was massively built. Our final post, just 5 days after her death, was advertising an upcoming summer challenge she was encouraging followers to join. Post has since been inundated with tributes from fans. I'm sorry as we won't have your genius anymore, one follower wrote. Well, it's unfortunate. Okay, so the last one for right now, guys. No buy 2025 is a growing trend. In a world that's often driven by consumerism, convincing you that you need to purchase more, 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 it's both difficult and empowering to do the opposite. Follow the no buy challenge. 2025, many individuals are partaking in a no buy year, meaning they're strictly cutting down on unnecessary purchases to save money or pay off debt. There's even a subreddit called No Buy that supports this movement, boasting over 67,000 members. Get your spending under control, the Reddit community encourages. Do you compulsively buy things? Got an eBay, Amazon, or Etsy addiction? Can't stop by a bookstore or makeup counter without buying something? Break that habit with a no-buy. Her tips? No buying clothing, beauty products, perfume, jewelry, technology, home decor, books. Additionally, she is not letting herself cancel any Pilates classes. There's a $10 fee. And is allowing herself only to order takeout once a month. Her main goal is to make do with what she has. What a wild concept. Some people think it's a bit extreme, but I don't think they understand how stressful living with debt can be, she said per Forbes. It's definitely hard, but life-changing, and after a while, it's really refreshing to get off the hamster wheel of constantly acquiring new stuff and being sold to. On Berman's TikTok video, one person commented, "Yay, been doing this since 23. I've paid off student loans, car. This was debt from being a single mom, 3 kids, no child government assistance." There's 200 other TikToks by individuals following the same trend and saving incredible amounts of money in doing so. Shit, in this economy, I might have to hop on the bandwagon. Okay. Oh, let's do this, because this one's fun. A Lux Maxer is spending $100,000 on limb lengthening surgery to go from 6'2 to 6'6. Wait till you see what else. Why does he look like Henry Cavill? For the uninitiated employed, Lux Maxing refers to a social media trend involving mostly young men who would do anything and everything to maximize their physical attractiveness, even spending absurd amounts of cash in order to have a doctor break their legs and put them back together again to add a few inches to their height. You'd think a 19-year-old lad who was 6'2 would safely skip this kind of surgery, but not the unfathomably, because TikToker Clavicular, who explained his reasons for the imminent surgery that will take him from an already taller than 6'2 to a WWE size 6'6. It's more about presence. You walk into a room, people will notice. People will come to me and say 6'2 is already tall. But in terms of percentile, it's only like 91st percentile. 66, we get to the 99th percentile. I'm someone who wants to be the best, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get there. Unfortunate part about limb lengthening surgery is almost no one is going to be able to do it. You have to be out of work for 6 months, a year. You're going to be hospitalized for the first 3 weeks. You're pretty much immobile for the first 3 months. The next 3 months after, you're not going to be able to walk without crutches. Not to mention the outrageous prices. It's very painful, and you have to gauge the values. It's something that's really worth it to you. Well, it sounds like he's already made his mind up. I just don't understand how any male could not be satisfied standing at 6'2 already. If I was adding 4 inches to anything, it wouldn't be my legs. Put it that way. Keep in mind, this is a lad who reportedly became infertile after 14 after going on testosterone replacement therapy. At 19, he's already had a nose job, gets Botox, has his eyebrows threaded, and even smokes crystal meth in order to keep his appetite surprised and body lean. I'm not even kidding. Cheezer was in disbelief after Clavicular reveals he does meth to chase his looks maxing goals. I mean, this kid is basically Patrick Bateman out of American Psycho. He's already spent ridiculous amounts of cash on looks maxing journey thus far, and is now set to fork out $100,000 just to add 4 inches to his height. Would someone like that ever truly be satisfied with how they look? For what it's worth, here's a before and after of Clavicular and his girlfriend having spent all that money on looks maxing. That's them. I don't think it's a stretch to suggest that this kid is suffering from mental illness and needs some kind of intervention before he takes his looks maxing obsession to an even more ridiculous degree. You want to command a room? Try working on your personality, not your height. Prince was 5'2", Napoleon was 5'5". Come on, friends and family of Clavicular. Chat to your boy before it's too late. For the man who went from 5'8 to 6'3 through limb lengthening surgery, click here. Somewhat more understandable, but still insane. Absolutely fucking crazy, guys. And the meth thing. You've got to be kidding me. So we'll talk about Gabe Newell's super yacht later. And there's some other stuff, obviously, you see here. But, alright, guys. We'll see you next time with more articles on the Grim Articles Show. SDP didn't show up. It is what it is. I'm out. See you next time.